Welcome back to Insight Live on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruriak. PG&E has announced a settlement of $1 billion to be paid to local governments for wildfire damages. You may have been hearing that in the news today. Butte County will get $252 million. The town of Paradise, which was nearly burned to the ground, will receive $270 million. And another $415 million is designated to wine country entities related to fires in 2017. So you can find more details about the settlement at capradio.org. People who survive wildfires often take different paths through their grieving and their healing process. For a woman named Christy Heron Clark, everyday items that were in the ashes of her house and her grandparents' house in Paradise became treasures. And she joined with artist Stephanie Taylor in an excavation of what was left at the family homes. What they found became an art project, a book, and now a powerful exhibit. It continues through the end of the month at the Archival Gallery in Sacramento. Stephanie Taylor is with me in the studio to talk about this journey. The exhibit is titled Simple Objects, an Excavation. Hi, Stephanie.
Good morning.
To begin, would you read from the statement in the book that accompanies the exhibit?
Visiting London in 2003, I saw an exhibition of artifacts found in the Thames River during construction of the Tate Modern. Created as a cabinet of curiosities, my memory of those shallow drawers full of categories such as buttons and toys persisted. When I listened to Christy Heron Clark, born and raised in Paradise, read an essay about her family who lost everything in the campfire, I asked her if she'd collaborate on simple objects, drawings and photography of everyday things. In January, Christy and I made the first of two trips to see what remained of the homes she grew up in. She wanted me to see Paradise, though of course I was too late. She wanted me to see a few areas that remained untouched, the lake where she and her dad fished, the graveyard, a place that she'd never visited, a place with grass and the promise of spring flowers, the only vertical elements in the landscape, gravestones, black tree trunks, and chimneys.
From the earliest conversations between the two of you, how did you decide it was okay to ask her if the objects from this very personal, devastating experience could become art, could become an exhibit that would be shared with everybody?
I don't know that it ever occurred to me to question whether it was okay. We had such a deep, sympathetic understanding that it just organically popped up.
Her family, we should say, got out of Paradise okay.
Yes, they did. They had to flee for their lives, and they made it.
So what were you looking for, or were you looking for anything in particular when you started walking through the ashes?
Well, It's such a process of coming to Paradise, a place I'd never visited, even though I was born in Chico. It's one of those places I always said, I need to go there. And that's why I wrote about it being too late. Of course, it is still there. We just wandered around first to get the setting, which is deeply, profoundly beautiful and sits on this incredible ridge with these, like a mini canyon, like the Grand Canyon. And then we went to her homes right next to each other, the home her mother and father lived in where she grew up and her grandparents' home. And it's numbing for me. I watched Christy gingerly walk into the detritus. She had this long pole, and every once in a while, she'd bend over and she'd pick something up and hold it up as a little treasure for me to see. And so we kind of went off on our two separate ways.
Christy is a science writer. Her articles have appeared in many publications. She has a statement in that same book that you just read from. I'm going to share a little bit of it. She writes, "In a pit of vaporized debris contained only by foundation walls, I was surprised how easy it was to find my way. The only things that remained semi-intact included ceramics and metals, materials that had already proven themselves once in the depth of flame. Here they persevered, inviting contemplation. Help everybody with the visual of the metals, the colors, the texture, the experience of what you found.
Well, it's a monochromatic landscape of ash, grays, whites to black, and basically the only color in the landscape is the color of the instantaneous rust and oxidation that occurs on the surface of metal.
I visited the exhibit yesterday, Stephanie, and that rust orange color is eerie because it's so present that in a way it makes the fire feel very alive. That color is still so organic and alert, even when it's just in a flat photograph.
It is, and we come to this project from two different veins, Christy and I. What we didn't feel we needed to do was talk about the day of the fire itself. She comes to each object with her memories, where they were in the house, what she was doing, what they meant to her, what they meant to her family. So she has that past. And I would pick up something from the ashes and address it as it exists now. The reality of this object that's covered in a different, altered, transformed state.
You're listening to artist Stephanie Taylor. She is talking about her multimedia collaboration with Christy Heron Clark. It's called Simple Objects, an Excavation, and you can see it at the Archival Gallery in Sacramento through June 29th. There's a collection of watches. There are burned rims of glasses. I think these are the things that could remind anybody of that drawer or that basket,
right.
The place where these things exist.
Yes, I'm very process-oriented. So to have the responsibility, take on the responsibility of archiving, categorizing, photographing each and every little tiny object was very profound for me. And to sit with these objects in my hands and look at them and try to best communicate how they are now was an amazing experience for me.
You write about a hammer being one object that twisted you up inside. So in that description, I found the interface between what someone else's experience in the fire was and that object and your own memories. And I think that that's a powerful result of this exhibit. You want to talk about the hammer a little bit?
Yeah, the hammer was this very small hammer head. It's no longer a hammer because, of course, the handle was wood and it's gone. And for some reason, this little item just resonated so deeply with me. I carried it around for days and days. And I'm a sculptor. And then it also referenced the hammer that I inherited from my father, which is unwieldy and archaic and paint spattered, and I can't get rid of it.
So the owner of Archival Gallery D told me that people are usually very quiet in the exhibit. That's not a surprise. And that people cry. I walked in the door, and the thing that grabbed me in the midst of the rust and the metal and the melted ceramic was the white ash, the soft white ash. Is there something that still, every time you look at it, grabs you in that way or in some way?
Well, since I write about the California environment, and this environment is changing, we have to look at these situations and look at the ash and the transformation and understand that we are transforming in this very moment from what we grew up with, what I grew up with, what my grandfather grew up with, to something new. And seemingly much more dangerous. And I don't know that the ash represents anything in particular except what's going to be left. I mean, we have to respond. And I think that holding a small object that has a new altered state brings that very clearly home.
You brought me a couple items. I'm looking at a black charred piece of wood. There's a piece of tile with some bright green leaves painted on it. And there's some melted sort of bottle glass. Tell me more about all three.
Well, that piece of charcoal was part of what held Christie's grandmother's house up. It was probably from a 2x4 that lay on the side of the house. And for some reason, it just occurred to me that I needed to make drawings with that very charcoal. And that's what I did. And the little piece of tile has a clover, which is part of her mother's name, I believe. And the green glass is the blown out windshield from a car that was nearby.
The drawing you did with the charcoal is how many panels? Is it four panels?
It's four panels. It's 7 feet high and 12 feet wide.
It's part of it is on the wall in the gallery. It's enormous. And to think that it was done with the charred wood is really amazing. When you talk about the windshield, there is a photograph, because some of this exhibit is from pictures that you took, of what looks like maybe one of those white vinyl shower curtains kind of melted and flowing down over something. What's that?
It's part of what was left of an automobile. And it might have been a 67 Mustang. I'm not sure. It was in her neighbor's yard. And what it is the melted windshield that must have melted so slowly that it didn't shatter. It just melted right over the steering wheel.
And so turned white?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I know we're focusing on these objects, but you also brought the journal as you walked through the piece of land and the foundations and made notes and took pictures. What was your experience with Christie in doing this? Were there times that she had to stop and kind of catch up to the process of going through everything?
Yes, I would look over and she would be lost in contemplation. She's a deeply intuitive, incredibly bright woman who had this childhood that anybody would envy, hanging out at lakes and fishing with her dad. You know, her mom was really creative. And, you know, I would just, it breaks your heart. We didn't have a lot of time up there. We knew that the cleaners were going to be coming, and in fact, they did. So, you know, we had to just fill up the car, and then we made another trip, and some of it's all gone now.
There are spoons and cups, scissors, jewelry, wrenches, little art pieces, some angels. There's much more in what's in your journal than what's actually on exhibit right now. Mm-hmm. Do you have bigger plans for this?
We would love to install this somewhere else, perhaps a number of places. I think that it causes people to, as you mentioned, for the visitors in the gallery, to actually slow down and take some time and really contemplate what their objects are. One thing I would love to do is to have people email postcards and little notes as to what their object is, because I know I have several. My dad's shaving brush. That's, you know, I keep it because it's got his DNA, his pipe, you know, some of my mom's art. We all have this object, and I would love to hear from people. So we'll probably get that going.
Since the exhibit's gone up and you've received some feedback and you hear that these conversations are happening, what have you come to understand? Maybe something that's either surprised you or validated what you believed about putting this project together?
I think how fragile we all are. And I actually got caught over in the very beginnings of the Santa Rosa fire where the GPS went out and, you know, I was wandering in my car, stopped by a policeman saying, no, you can't go this way because of downed power lines. How vulnerable we are and that we have to prepare. We have to make plans. And that will give us a sense that maybe we're a little bit safer. But Sacramento is still the number one flood risk in the nation right now. So these are new realities.
Thank you for bringing this project to us. We posted some pictures on our website, and I really appreciate the conversation. The work you do, Stephanie, continues to amaze and surprise us.
Thank you.
That's Stephanie Taylor. Her collaboration with Christy Heron-Clark is called Simple Objects, an Excavation. It's at the Archival Gallery in Sacramento through June 29th. And all gallery proceeds from the sale of photography and companion books will be donated to the North Valley Community Foundation supporting the survivors of the campfire. There's more at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.